preacher. And he always said he was a preacher, not a minister, because he'd not had any formal training. And I remember going home that night with my grandma and grandpa, and he asked me, what happened to you tonight? And I always called him Pop. And I said, Pop, I gave my heart and soul to the Lord. And I remember him praying at that particular time. But you know, I was only 11 years old, so I'm not sure I really understood exactly what that meant. And throughout my adult life and working life, it was really not truly satisfying, and it seemed like I was always looking for something. But as time went on and certain things happened in my life, my wife passed away, my mother passed away, and I came back to southern Illinois and to North City where my mother was buried, and I ran into Linda. And Linda and I knew each other back in high school and college, and you know, it was really easy to just kind of pick up where we left off 50 years ago, and then we decided that the best thing for us to do at that particular time was to get married, so we did. And the week after our marriage, Linda got pneumonia. And we were starting vacation Bible school here at church. And so she was laying on the couch, struggling with that pneumonia. And I said, well, you know, I should probably stay at home with her, but there's something kept nagging at me to go to that vacation Bible school. And I did. And we were over here in the old building down in the basement. And the best thing that ever happened to me happened that night. I don't know how else to explain it except that I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I could hear just as clearly as we speak here today that God loves you. And I even said out loud, you know, God loves me. And I know that he does, and I know that that night that the Lord forgave me for all my sins, because I had such an overwhelming feeling of freedom and peace. And thinking back on that, I think I now understand what Martin Luther King meant when he said, free at last, God Almighty, I'm free at last. So the experience that I had is truly meaningful to me. And I'd like to close by just paraphrasing the late Billy Graham. You know, if you've been adding up, I was 11 years old in 1950. And this is some 68 years later. If you put those together, you know I'm closer to the end of my earthly life than I am the beginning. And one of these days you're going to pick up the local paper or turn on the Baptist Hour and you're going to hear it. Donald L. Gossett died on such and such a time. Well, let me tell you, don't you believe it. Because when that happens, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be up there, and I'm going to be talking to him. I'm going to be thanking him for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon us, and I'm going to be thanking him for the sending his one and only child to die on the cross for us, and it's going to be a perfect place to be. Who knows? I might even say, Lord, you want to show me that perfect golf course? Because I'd like to shoot one round of perfect golf. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Don. Next, we have Nate Oldham. Nate is married to Betsy. They have five children, Hallie Kate, Nolan, Liam, Dathan, and Caleb. And Nate is a physician at Farrell Hospital Family Practice here in our community, and Nate's going to share his testimony.
Well, I've shared this a few times here, but for those that haven't heard it, I'm going to say it again. So, I was raised in church. I remember at around age 7, we were sitting in church, and all of a sudden this new thing was introduced for the first time that I hadn't really seen before. They were actually taking grape juice and passing it down the aisle, and then bread, which I thought was some kind of cookie, and my mom wouldn't let me take it. And I said, why can't I have the grape juice and the cookie? That's not fair, right? So on the way home, I said, hey, Mom, how do I get to have the grape juice and the cookie? And she says, well, you've got to accept Jesus into your heart. Well, let's do that, because the next time, I'll get to have the grape juice and the cookie. And so we did it, and she led me to Christ, and nothing changed. I remember I got to have the grape juice and the cookie from then on. I remember I went to Sunday school. I learned the stories. I went to a Christian school early on. I remember that I went to church camps, and I did all the things that you were supposed to do when you were raised in the church. Didn't really know who Jesus was, other than the guy that I heard stories about that healed sick people, but that wasn't applicable to my life. I'd never been sick. I certainly hadn't died, so he couldn't raise me from the dead. So then I just kind of walked through life. About age 11, I remember I was picking green beans at 5:30 in the morning, which I really didn't want to do, if you want to be honest. But my grandpa was insistent that when you were going to garden, you gardened early. So I was up 5:30, and I remember we had got done picking green beans about 7 o'clock, and we were sitting there breaking beans then at my grandma's house, and we got a call from our neighbor, and the neighbor said, hey, your house is on fire. We said, oh, well, that sucks. So our house was destroyed. About a week later, my mom went to the doctor because she'd been swelling and everywhere. And they said, hey, Helene, you've got kidney disease, really bad kidney disease. Your kidneys are failing, as a matter of fact. You either need to have a kidney transplant or you need to go, something needs to be done. And that started her life, where she was in and out of hospitals and near-death experiences and all this stuff. And I remember thinking in my head, you know, if there is a God, you suck. Honestly, that's what I thought. And if there is a God, I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with you, because look, I've tried to do this. I've tried to live my life like I was told to do, and all this bad stuff keeps happening. So life went on, and Mom's health worsened, and her kidney failed, and she went. And I remember, as she's walking through this, she just loved on Jesus all the time. She just loved Jesus. And she wanted more than anything, for her boys to love Jesus. So she still dragged us to church every Sunday. And when I say drag, I mean drag. Because I would literally make her life horrible every Sunday morning. Wouldn't get out of bed. When I wouldn't get dressed, would try to find ways to stay home. So I remember finally she said, Nate, you don't have to go to church with me, but you have to go somewhere. So in God's timing and his perfect kind of understanding of how things went, I had had two friends that for about 3 or 4 months had been asking me to come to church with them, to come to youth group. We got this cool, new, hip youth minister. He's a really great guy. I think you'll like him. So I started coming to church here. I came for the church and stayed for the girl, you could say, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I did meet, and as I started coming to church, I started getting taught things that I really didn't understand. I started looking at things a little bit different. You know, that life doesn't revolve around me. That God does have a plan, and it's not always necessarily something that your life's always going to be comfortable. You know, I saw places in the Bible where the people that honored Jesus the most were the people that had kind of the worst lives a lot of time. And I started seeing my role in that plan a little bit. And I remember on a beach in Florida at a youth trip, I was walking the beach alone early, and I remember that I just got hit with this. Are you saved, Nate? Do you know me? And I can't say I heard an audible voice, but I can say that in my heart, Jesus was talking to me. And I said, no, I don't think I do. And so right there, I gave on that beach, which I still remember where I was standing and what the sunrise looked like. I decided I wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted to give my heart and my soul to Jesus. And I wanted him to use me in however he saw fit. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everything's been perfect, and I fail a lot on a daily basis. There's this process that we walk through as Christians. It's called sanctification. It's a big church word. Basically, it means that God's not done with you until you're off this earth. And you're going to mess up a lot, and you're gonna fail, and I do that a lot. But what I've learned is that God's love and his grace is always greater than my sin. And that if it was up to me to be saved, well, it would have never happened. But with God's grace, that is, that I know that no matter what I do, his love is greater. Thanks.
Thank you, Nate. Our next deacon candidate is Bill Price. Bill works at Continental Tire in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and he's married to Amy, and they have three children, Hallie, Ben, and Bo. Bill?
All right, so yesterday, Randy called me and said, everybody's going to speak briefly. He was emphatic about the briefly part. And you're going to go last, which I thought, the man's showing his wisdom. He's going to have me be the anchor, bring it all home, and bring it all together. That thing he said, we're going to go in alphabetical order, so you're last. So, anyhow. But anyhow, so my testimony in a nutshell, kind of like everybody else, I grew up in church, and about 8 years old, I was saved and spent a lot of time afterwards in doubt and running wild, and after that, a lot of guilt and things after that. And a man named Mark Smith, I was helping in a church in Pawnee when I was in college. He kind of helped me get back. Then we realized how to get rid of that doubt and that anxiety that I felt for so many years and the guilt over things I had done. So at that point, I was about 22 and rededicated my life and things. And my friend Tom, he became the youth pastor here in 96 or so. And I moved here in 98 after having really no other place to go at the time. And started coming here and helping him out with the chaperoning youth group and stuff, which, of course, a lot of them are now adults. And a couple of them are up here becoming deacons, which is kind of cool. So when the first time I came here, man, this place felt like home. And I had we all have our home churches when we're kids or whatever. But when I came here, it felt like home. And then moved away, went to Paducah for 4 years. And Amy and I spent some time in Marion and other places. And then came back. And first time stepping back in here, this place felt like home. I mean, y'all just have that. If there's anything we're great at, it's that. It's loving on people and making you feel comfortable. And I really am just... I'm humbled and honored that y'all would think of me to nominate me to do this, because I really don't see myself in the class with these guys here, and they're it's just, it really is. I appreciate it very much.
On Sunday morning, April the 22nd, the deacon body of the First Baptist Church of El Dorado, Illinois, formed an ordinating council for the purpose of considering the ordination of Jason Farmer, Mark Gilley, Don Gossett, Nate Odom, and Bill Price to the office of deacon. Tom Clore elected as moderator, Pastor Randy Plunkett as questioner, and Harold Mills as recorder. Following a time of examination, Harold Mills moved that Jason Farmer, Mark Gilley, Don Gossett, Nate Odom, and Bill Price be presented to the church for ordination on Sunday morning, April the 29th. Gary Reeder seconded the motion. Motion carried unanimously. We now present this recommendation to the church.
So at this time, I would like to call for the vote to ordain our candidates, and I would ask that all of our church members would participate. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
All against, say no. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Gentlemen, you go sit with your families.
You could take my picture and hang it in a gallery with all the who's and so-and-sos who used to be the best at such and such. It wouldn't matter much. I won't lie, it feels all right to see your name in lights. We all need an attaboy, attagirl. In the end, I'd like to hang my hat on more besides the temporary trappings of this world. Part of these legacy, how will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough to make a mark on this thing? I'm on a leaving on the rails, a child of mercy. Pile that moth and rust, thieves and such will soon enough destroy. I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough to make a mark on things? I want to leave an offering, a child of mercy and grace who blessed your name. Just wanna hear instead.